This week we're remembering Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. We're going to have our Good Wednesday night service at 7 p.m. So come on out this Wednesday night as we remember what Jesus did on the cross and go through the crucifixion and just thank Him for thank God for sending His Son and thank Jesus for all that He went through for us. So come on back to Wednesday night at 7. Let's turn to our hymn books as we continue worshiping the Lord. 163, Palm Sunday, Jesus, entry into Jerusalem. 163, My Redeemer. Let us all stand as we praise God this morning for what He has done for us. 163. I will sing of My Redeemer and His wondrous love for me. On the cruel cross He suffered, let me free. Sing a sing of My Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed My pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will tell the the men and boys sing that third verse. Ladies, join us on the chorus. I will praise My dear Redeemer, His triumphant power I'll tell, how the victory He given over sin and death and hell. Everyone, sing, oh sing of My Redeemer, My before we sing that fourth verse and have the ladies and girls start it, what are you thankful for about your Redeemer, about Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who came, died on the day of Passover, the day that they were to kill the Passover lamb, the 14th day of Nisan, is the day that He died there in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah on the cross. What are you thankful for about your Lamb who paid for your sins? Yes, Brother Hutt.
I'm thankful that He not only died, but He rose again.
Amen.
He's alive, seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavens.
Amen. Who else? James?
He died for our sins.
Amen. Amen. Eric?
He died on the cross for everybody.
Amen.
He shed His blood.
Amen. Anyone else? What are you thankful for about your Redeemer? Carol?
Without Him, I'd be on my way to hell, but with Him, I'm on my way to heaven.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? All right, let us sing that fourth verse, ladies and girls. I will sing. Thank you. bow together in prayer. I'm going to ask Pastor Logan, would you lead us in prayer?
Our Father, we do thank you for this time of sharing with these like precious faith. What a great day it is today. Palm Sunday, Lord, when we think of your triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem. We thank you, Father, we have such a Savior as the Lord Jesus Christ. As the songwriter says, what a mighty Savior we have in him who gave his life to pay a debt that he did not owe for a people that owed a debt that they could not pay. Father, we think of ourselves and each and every one is here this morning. And actually, he said, everyone that's been born or has been born or will be born, that they have a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not an instant where they have to ask to be saved. They're already saved, Father. They can refuse it, but the debt has been paid. They only have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, Lord, and Master in their lives. And we pray today, Father, across this nation, across the world, that many will come unto the Savior, knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will trust him as Savior, Lord, and Master in their lives, and they'll go on to live a life that's dedicated to you, Lord. Thank you for each one that's here today, Lord. We just thank you for seeing Brother Roy this morning, Lord. We're so thankful to see this man who's done so much for our country and now is doing so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for him, Lord.
Amen.
We thank you for the care that he receives from Sister Karen and from his wife, Lord. We just thank you, Father, for the care they've given him.
Amen.
And we thank you, Father, for all that are here this morning. We thank also those that could not be here, Lord, would love to be here. But perhaps because of the condition beyond their control, they're unable to be here this morning. We thank you for churches open across America, Lord. We believe that the hope of America is the many, many hundreds and thousands of churches that dot the countryside of our nation, Lord. We pray for those churches, Lord. We may not agree with all that they preach, Lord, but we agree that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, and we trust in him as Lord and Master. And when we get to heaven, you'll get all of us straight, Lord, and we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for a forgiving heart, Lord, that whatever we do, we can come to you, Lord, and you will not only erase our sin, but you will put them away from you as far as the east is from the west. He said you put them into the depths of the sea. They'll never come up against us again. And when we stand before you on that day and Satan stands at our accuser, that you will say that I don't remember that sin, Lord, and we thank you for that. Bless each one that's here this morning, Lord. Bless the young children, Lord. We especially pray for them. Continue to be with us all, Lord, and bless us. Bless the message this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said.
Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray also for Brittany, Lord, that you just continue to heal her. Thank you that she's out of the hospital with this brain blood clot that she had. Thank you that she's in Bacharach. We pray you continue to help her heal, get her speech fully back, and all the other things. We pray you'd also be with the Rivera family as they finish the house this week. We pray you'd bring them all out, and the family as well, the extended family, next Sunday for Easter. We pray for Kenny. Pray you'd help the doctors find out what made him black out, Lord, and we pray you just give him your healing touch in his body. For Rich Tomasco as well, for this infection he has. Pray for Roy Gibson, Lord, as was mentioned. Pray to keep him well, and bless him on his birthday this next Sunday, Lord. Give him a wonderful 95th birthday. Pray for Justine, for her epilepsy, that you continue to be with her, and if it be your will, you help find the right medication that would help her with this. We pray for Karen with her feet, and we pray you just put your healing hands upon her body and her feet, that she would not need surgery, Lord, be your will. Pray for Ethan as he preaches this coming tomorrow morning at Ambassador and Chapel at 10 a.m., Lord. We pray for those that can, of us that can live stream that, Lord, that you would just help us to be an encouragement to him to hear that message, and thank you for what you're doing in his life, sending him out to the harvest fields, Lord. We praise you and thank you. We pray for Ernie Altamari for his broken leg, for Patty Campbell for her cancer treatments, Lord. We pray you just give her your healing and encouragement in her in her life and in her body, Lord, that we might see her out next Sunday, if it be your will. We praise the Lord for the 7 professions of faith at the Good News Club on last Thursday, Lord. We praise you and thank you for these children that are just hungry, hungry and thirsty for your word, Lord. Help them to grow in yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let's turn back to our hymn books as we sing number 352. Continue praising the Lord. 352.
My hope is in the
Wonderful song showing what Jesus has done for us. No merit of our own. Now for me he stands. Where's Jesus now? He's standing at the right hand of God the Father for us, seated at the right hand. His work is finished, and he's showing his wounded hands in our place, that he is our intercessor between God the Father and us. Let us sing that fourth verse and praise him.
His grace has ended all. Find but to believe
and recognize his work of love.
Recognize his work of love.
And Christ receives. Draw our attention to the Bible at this time for a scripture reading. Let's go to our Bibles for a scripture reading, and we're going to look at the Palm Sunday reading. So let's go to Mark chapter 11. I'm going to ask Brother Hodge to come and read this for us. Mark chapter 11. Mark 11, 1 through 10. Let us all stand for the reading of God's Word. And Brother Hodge, after you read this passage, can you also share about our ordination day yesterday?
I'm so trying to honor.
And the tree cutting as well.
Mark chapter 11, you from 11 to the end?
1 through 10.
Oh, 1 to 10, okay. Everyone has it? Mark, New Testament, chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethsaida and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples.
And said unto them, Go your way into the village, which is over against you. And as soon as ye entered into it, ye shall find a colt.
And if any man say unto you, Why do you this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither.
And they went their way, and found a man behold, tied by the door, without any place where two ways met, and they loosed him.
And certain of them that stood there said unto them, Why do ye loose the colt? And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him.
And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees, and threw them in the way.
And they that went before, and they that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Together, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, he now that evening shall come. He went out into the Bethany with the 12. Be God blessed to our hearts, his words. You may be seated. Just bring you up to date, just in case you were not informed, about the ordinations that were done yesterday at the new church.
Community Baptist
Church.
Coopersburg.
In Coopersburg. It was the first time I was in that area, so I won't be able to tell a whole lot about it. But we did have a good time at a celebration. Two men, young men, who are going into the ministry were examined, and it was a wonderful time seeing them given the answers to the questions, taken directly from the Bible, from God's words, as they were tested about their faith and about their plans that God has put within their minds to become a minister in a ministry. And it was quite a good fellowship and a wonderful time. And I cannot leave out also, we had a wonderful meal that we all enjoyed there in that new building. It looks to me about the time when I got there as if it was like a hotel. It's just a huge building that was once a school, and it is now used for the ministry of God's word, and it's just a blessing to be in it and to enjoy the fellowship with the folks who were there. Did you mention something else, Pastor Rice?
The tree cutting.
He wants to mention about the tree cutting. There is a huge tree right close to the back to the what do you call it? Over to the parsonage, right back at it, over there, where he lives. And the branches were just about across the top of the building on the roof, about a touch on top of the roof of the house, and we could see possible in the near future, if there's a hurricane or a nor'easter that might come up along the coast, the house could be in danger. So both Pastor Rice and myself undertake the courage to go and cut the branches that were hanging over the top of the building, and it happened, so it all worked out quite well. We had two saws that we used, and they worked quite well. We cut down, it took us about maybe 2.5 to 3 hours to get it all cut down to the bottom, and then having cut them small pieces and put them to be taken out to the dumpster. So we thank God for his protection. We somewhat climbed every two paths. We have a set of ladders that were up, about how many feet? About 30 feet up. About 30 feet up in the tree, and then we did the rest of it with an electric saw. And everything worked out well. God protected us from any danger, and everything went well. So I just want to share that with you, and it was a blessing to just get rid of the tree, at least part of the branches, and to make the building safe in case there's a storm. Okay, so that's about it.
Amen. All right, this time we'll direct your attention to our bulletin. Does anyone need a bulletin? We'll be happy to get one to you. It's good to have, although many of our regulars are out due to sickness or hospital or some other reason, we're glad that we have some visitors as well to help with the numbers, and it's good to have the Jacoby family with us. For those that are new, would you mind introducing your family and friends for us?
Roy and Vera, this is Tommy, Ava, and Isabella.
All right, welcome back. Andy and Vera and kids, and a friend of their kids, so good to have Isabella with us. And I'm sorry. I was thinking of your friend, Isabella. your friend that you brought last summer. What's her name again?
Mia.
That's, I was thinking of Mia. I'm sorry. Okay. And so it's good to have Ava, Isabella, and Tommy here with us. They're children. All right. Good to have them. And how many have seen some of the vacationers already in on the roads? The roads are getting fuller. Okay, so we're getting the tourists back in season, and we're thankful for them, and thankful for the many different things that come in the summer and spring. And just by way of announcements, it's Hosanna Palm Sunday today, and we are going to just mention our... in a little bit, we'll have the children come up and they can show their palm branches. We'll talk about what that means. And then next Sunday morning, we're having an Easter breakfast at 9 a.m. We've done this in the past and it's gone very well. So if we could have the vans pick up just a little bit earlier next Sunday so we can all come for breakfast instead of coming at 9:30 for Sunday school, we'll come at 9 for breakfast and then we'll go to Sunday school classes at 9:45. So that gives us 45 minutes to eat, and so if you can bring some kind of breakfast item to share, whether it be your egg souffle, or whether it be your pancakes, or whatever you want to bring, or cereal, and some people like to bring donuts, or whatever you want to bring, and we'll make it a special Easter breakfast next Sunday at 9 a.m., and then if you'd like to purchase a flower, Easter lily or tulip, in memory of one of your loved ones, or in honor of one of your loved ones, your family members, or friends, you can sign up on the back table there. The cost is $6 for a lily, $6 for a tulip. So please feel free to sign up for those so we can decorate the church next week for Easter and make it look beautiful up here. So let us do that. And a good way to remember our loved ones, we'll print that. Those of our loved ones who passed on to be with the Lord or whoever they were, we'll put that in the bulletin next week to remember them. And this Wednesday is Good Wednesday observance, and if you look on Wikipedia, look up Holy Wednesday or Good Wednesday, and sure enough, you'll see all the scriptures there. I looked it up last night, and it says Bible scholars note that all the scriptures point to Wednesday and not to Friday, because there was a high Sabbath that week in John 19. There was two Sabbaths. There was the Saturday Sabbath, and then there was a Thursday Sabbath that week. And when Jesus died on the cross, he died on Wednesday, which was Passover day, the day they were to cook the lamb and make the lamb, because the next day was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So that Feast of Unleavened Bread then lasted 3 days, and sure enough, Jesus rose on Sunday. So it's neat how it all works out. There was a high Sabbath that week on Thursday, so Jesus died on Wednesday on Passover, the day before the first day of Feast of Unleavened Bread. On that Passover day, he is our Passover lamb, as it says in the book of Acts for us. And then on Thursday, they had that special Sabbath, the high Sabbath. Then on Saturday, they had the regular Sabbath. So if you do the math and connect all the scriptures, it comes to Wednesday, because he was in the grave 3 days and three nights. And so Friday just does not give the time for that. So that's why we're celebrating it this Wednesday night. So come on out and let us observe what Jesus went through for us. We'll have special readings. We'll have special songs about the cross and about Jesus and his blood. So come on out this Wednesday. Bring a friend with you at 7 p.m. and for that special time. Then this Saturday we have our gospel message egg hunt. This Saturday starting at 10 a.m. So and bring some kids with you, bring some young people with you, and bring them on out. What a great thing that would be to have a church full of young people hearing the gospel and being reminded what Jesus went through for them. We've had people get saved just about every year of having this. This is our seventh year doing it. Then next Sunday is Resurrection Day. We're having a special program, My Eyes Have Seen the Savior. So this is in your bulletin, so use this for your reference, but also give it out to your neighbor. Give it out to someone you know so that they can come and hear all about what Jesus went through for them and how they can be saved. So come on, so bring them out. And then for Christians, be reminded of Jesus and his rising from the grave for us and how to live for him. So and then there's also the gospel egg hunt flyers are on the back table there if you'd like to take some of those as well. Then our... And the other things are in here. We're having Teen Talents for Christ instead of Teen Spring Fest, May 11th. This is for all 5th through 12th graders for our church, Calvary Baptist Church, Community Baptist Church, and Chelsea Baptist Church, as well as another church in Pennsylvania as well. So we're going to have a good time together that day, Teen Talents for Christ. So we're asking the young ladies, if they want to tell a Bible story, 5-minute Bible story, and young men to do preaching for 5 minutes if they want to. They don't have to, and then they can get to see their friends do it and participate, and then the adults will be judges for that special day, Saturday, May 11th, here at the church, starting at 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Bring $5 for lunch and help buy the ribbons as well. This time we'll ask our ushers to come. At this time, Ethan is preaching tomorrow morning in chapel, as we mentioned, at 10 a.m., ambassadors.edu. So if you want to watch Ethan preach his graduate level sermon there is he graduating in May?
May 3rd.
May 3rd, he'll be graduating. So let's pray for Ethan as he comes to the end. Let us bow together in prayer as we thank the Lord for this opportunity to give. As Abraham said, that the Most High God, that he blessed the Most High God and gave him tithes of all, because he said the Most High God is the possessor of heaven and earth. So let us give cheerfully with Abraham. Let us bow together in prayer. Evan, would you?
Dear Lord, thank you for setting up the money about to feed the Lord Jesus in my prayer. Amen.
Amen. Let us turn back in our hymn book, hymn number, in the Majesty hymn book, the red one, 183, as we praise the Lord, 183, the Lamb of Glory. Let's all stand together as we sing this song and praise the Lord this morning.
Hear the glory from God's word.
Seated. We'll have special music at this time, and then we'll call the young people, the children up. Time we'll ask the young people to come on up, sixth grade and younger, and bring your palm leaves with you if you have them, or if you have a picture of Jesus Loves Me picture, you can bring that up as well. We're going to think about what happened before we dismiss them. What happened that triumphal entry at Palm Sunday many years ago, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus... Come on up, girls, bring your pictures up or your palm leaves if you have them. And we're going to talk about what it meant for him to go into Jerusalem and what Hosanna means, okay? So what does Hosanna mean? Let's see if any of our adults can help us with this. What does Hosanna mean? Eric?
Hosanna.
That's what it says, but what does it mean? Hosanna. That's good, I like that.
Hosanna in the highest.
All right, Hosanna in the highest. They said that to Jesus. What does it mean, Hosanna? It's a Hebrew word.
What does it mean?
Okay, it's a mystery, huh? What did they want Jesus to do for them? The vast amount of Jewish people, many of them, what did they want him to do for them? Yes. To be king. They wanted him to save us. Hosanna means save us. Okay, hold up your branch, your palm leaves, okay, and come on over here. Here's what they did. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, they put him... Jesus had a special colt. So come on over, bring your leaves over here. We're going to put leaves all down the aisle because Jesus, we're going to pretend Jesus is coming on his colt, okay? So here's what they did. They took the leaves and they brought them and they waved them, okay? So can you line up here? We'll have you stand, okay? One of you right there. Good, good. Chloe and Zoe right over here. Okay, good. Okay, now Mia, you're further down. Abby, you're further down, and now you're going to wave them, and you're going to... Okay, good, right there. Beautiful. Now, Jesus came riding in on the donkey. What does the donkey symbolize? Anyone help us out here? What is the donkey? He didn't come riding in on a big horse, big white horse. He's going to do that later.
Humility.
Humility. He came in on a donkey, a colt. He comes in on this young donkey with humility. Okay, so now put your leaves right here. Yeah. That's what they did. They strew the palm leaves right in the way. Good. Okay, Abby, put yours right there. Good. Chloe and Zoe, you can put yours right there. Okay, one right behind you right there. Good. All right, and now Elizabeth right here. Now, do you mind if we borrow these? For the service, and you get them back after junior church. Okay, can you leave them in here for us? Okay. All right. Okay, that's going to be our illustration of Jesus coming in, and those are beautiful. Perhaps we can make some more of those. Those are really nice. And so let us say it together, kids. Let's say Hosanna in the highest. Can you say that? Hosanna in the highest. That means praise the Lord, okay? Praise Him, save us, save us. And literally, a lot of them wanted Savior from the Roman Empire, but then they found out a week later that they needed a more serious saving, and that is salvation from sin. And some of them didn't believe right away. Some of them believed later on. Many of them believed later on. And so we thank God for His salvation. All right, this time you are dismissed to go to youth church. And well done. Let's give them a hand for helping us with that. If you want to take it, you can take it. That's fine. I can tell they want to enjoy those palm branches. Okay, they're beautiful. You can leave them there or you can take them. It's up to you. And they're beautiful. Good illustration. Let's go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Here we see some wonderful principles that we need to apply to our lives and apply this week to our lives. Mark chapter 11, starting verse 1, let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, and your Son Jesus and his shed blood on the cross for our sins. Thank you for the tremendous gift he gave to us, the gift that you gave to us in sending your Son. And Lord, we praise you and we can't thank you enough for our salvation. Thank you that you rose again from the grave 3 days later. We thank you for your love and pray you'd help us now during this time. Help us to cast aside the busy distractions of the week and help us to think and focus on your word and your word only. You'd fill me with thy spirit. Fill each one of us with your spirit that we may desire to be spirit-filled Christians, to be able to do your word and be hearers of it. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark 11, here it says in verse 1, and when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, which was probably Bethphage, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat, loose him, and bring him. Here we see this is, yes, I turned it off temporarily. The colt was located outside in plain sight, and Jesus said, I have need of him. Why? Zechariah 9:9. Let's turn back to Zechariah 9:9. Keep your finger there in Mark 11. There's a reason why Jesus needed the colt. Zechariah 9 and verse 9, it says, let's read this one together. This is point number one this morning. Let's read verse 9. Zechariah 9 and verse 9, it's hard to find. It's right near the end of the Old Testament. If you find Malachi, Zechariah, Malachi. It's right before Malachi. So if you find Matthew, turn back one book to Malachi, turn back two books to Zechariah. It's one of the longer minor prophets. Zechariah 9 and verse 9. And let us read it together. Some are still looking for it. We want to wait till everyone finds it. Zechariah 9:9 is right before Malachi. Okay. Let us read it together. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Here we see beautiful, beautiful words that the Messiah would fulfill. Beautiful picture of what the Messiah would do for us. Here we, number one this morning, we need to rejoice. You know, the world is all bad news, a lot of bad news most of the time, okay? But guess what? In Jesus, we can rejoice. Amen. As Christians, we can rejoice. We are not the people of a pessimist spirit. We shouldn't be known for that. We should be the people of an optimist spirit because we know where we're going. And we know whose we are. We are Jesus's. And we know that Jesus has saved us from our sins and that He is preparing a mansion for us in heaven. Amen. We have all the reasons in the world every day to rejoice. Even amidst trials, even amidst difficulties, we still have the joy of Jesus in our hearts. And that's what gets us through the trials and difficulties. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That we need to rejoice greatly. O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. We should shout. We should praise God. We should have some unction about us. We shouldn't just be, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Ah, praise the Lord. I'm serving the Lord today. And it looks like we've been eating sour grapes, you know. That we need to be known for joy and vibrancy. And hey, you know what? They're happy. What makes them happy all the time? You know, the world gets happy about the silliest things, right? The world gets happy about, a concert they're going to, or this thing, or that thing, and they get happy about any little thing, going to the bar, they get happy about it. They get, and then of course they're sad when they leave the bar, you know. They feel miserable, okay? But they get happy about the many different things, but you know what? Their happiness just doesn't last. That's the difference of being a Christian. Being a born-again Christian, knowing Christ is our Savior, guess what? We can be happy all the time because we have true joy. See, joy, the world even talks about joy. They say, oh, that gave me joy. That gave me joy. But their idea of joy doesn't last. You know, but the joy that is designed by God in the Christian life through the Holy Spirit, walking and talking with Him every day and communing with Him and listening to the Word of God as the Holy Spirit speaks to us through the Word of God daily, saying no to sin and yes to God and obedience to His commands, that is the joy that God provides every day. Do you realize that we can be joyful all the time? If we will just be willing to be Spirit-filled. What's the opposite of being Spirit-filled? Why are so many of our churches sad and not doing well? Because carnality is rampant. Okay? That here we have to see that we have a choice to make in the Christian life. We can either have a church that's joyful, full of joyful Christians that are obeying and serving Jesus, or we can have a church full of carnal Christians who are just whining and moaning and groaning and in sin and always having a bad day. Why? Because sin always makes us have a bad day. Okay? Our sinful choices, if we let them rule our life and our heart and our carnality, if we let that rule us, guess what? We're not going to be a Spirit-filled Christian, and we're not going to know the joy of the Spirit-filled life. We're not going to have that close walk with God, and we're going to know something's missing. You know, God did not intend for us to walk this Christian life by ourselves. It's meant to be a life of communion and connection with Jesus. What did Jesus say in John 15? I am the what? I am the vine. Ye are the branches. But yet, if you look around in many churches and many Christian lives, what you see is many branches are just falling on the ground. They're on the ground, and they're trying to get up by themselves. And, you know, as Mr. Hodge and I took down that tree, he did the high stuff, you know. He can have the high stuff, you know. I'll do the lower stuff. And as we took down that tree, that... Once we cut off, there was a large limb that was stretching over the house, and you know, and he used the pole saw, and there was one spot, you know, one of them hit the roof, and I said, "Oh no, this is going to damage the roof." And he said, "No, it won't, no, it won't." And he lassoed the rope above the next branch above it, and then tied a knot in that next heavy. This branch was about that thick. Going out like that. So he cut off this big of a section of it, and then I held the rope from the ground to the branch right above it, going to that heavy piece that would have fallen on the roof and damaged some shingles, possibly made a hole in the plywood underneath and the tar paper underneath. But it didn't. It didn't fall. As soon as it cut, it stayed there. Why? Because I was holding the rope, and because he rigged it so it would just take the branch above it would take the weight. And then we're able to lower it right to the roof, and then from there throw it off the roof. But yet all those branches that we put all over the ground, you know, I didn't see one of them. I wish they would have. I wanted to say to those branches, "Hey branches, will you please go to the road right now? Go and line yourselves up in nice piles," okay? He said it took 3 hours. No, we were there from 10:30 probably till 5 o'clock. Oh, it was back-breaking work. It was a long time. It was short for him because he's used to it. I'm not used to that kind of work. But anyway, a lot of back-breaking work and, you know, just getting all those branches. But not one of those branches walked to the road. Not one of them picked itself up and went over the road. Why didn't that branch not, you know, blow over or do something for itself? Why not? Why couldn't it grow? You know, the tree grow it over and then shoot it off? No, because a branch, when it's not connected to the tree, guess what? It can't do anything. It's going to die. Okay? The sap stop flowing now, and those branches that we cut, you can go out to the road there and you can see not one of them is alive anymore. Why is that? Because now they've been disconnected from where? The main trunk of the tree. From the roots that are giving that sap, the life-flowing sap, life-giving sap through the tree and shooting it out, that resin and that special mucus into the tree and making it thrive and nourish it and to grow it and blossom it. Well, it's not there anymore, so none of those branches are going to do anything. But that's exactly how we are as Christians if we try to live our Christian life without Christ. If we try to say, oh, you know, I got to live for the world today, and I got to, you know, please my friends over here in the world, or I got to please my carnal appetites in my body. You know, my body wants to play video games today instead of doing what I'm supposed to. Well, guess what? How are you going to feel after you spend a bunch of hours on video games instead of doing what you should be doing? You're going to feel drained. You're going to feel exhausted. You know, they took a poll of the college students, you know, that play video games. How do you feel after you play a whole day playing a video game? I feel like what a waste of a day. And that's the unsaved people. You know, they'll be honest. They'll say, I wasted a day playing this video game that really doesn't amount to anything and doesn't help anybody else, doesn't do anything for me. I read an article in Stockton's paper, Stockton College, a newspaper written by the students, and one of them wrote an article about how cell phones are literally sapping away time and happiness and life from college students. And they said, oh, if we would just get off our phones, we'd have more time to actually make real friends, not fake friends that we really don't know that well. And please, fake friends that, you know, are having pretend beautiful lives. You know, they show the picture of the perfect picture of what their ice cream, or their perfect picture of them doing what they're doing. And you know, it's not wrong to do fun events, but if what they want you to see is their perfect life doing their perfect activity. But you know what? Life isn't like that. You interview every one of those people, and they're going to tell you, oh, today I had a lot of problems. But it looks like their life is just going perfect. Why? Because it's one picture of their life. And so that's what we need to be reminded of, is that social media will literally take away hours and days from your life. So teens, don't let it do that. Adults, you know, adults included, don't let it do that. You know, adults can be just as big culprits in social media and video games and just whittling away time on things like that as young people. So we can't point the finger without saying to ourselves as well. And so that will not make us happy and joyful. That will instead leave us with more heartaches afterward. So let us spend our time doing what God wants us to do, rejoicing in Him. You know what? If you start your day in the Bible, guess what? You're already setting yourself up for a successful day. A Bible start equals a great day. Why? Because you have time to pray. You have time to see what God is doing for you. You know, see what God is doing, how He's working, how He's helping get us out of sin and into a life of victory. All through the Scriptures, the theme is getting out of sin, coming to the Lord. And the Lord brings joy and happiness and peace. So a Bible start will make a great day. If you don't have a Bible start, no Bible, I guarantee you, we'll take a, you know, you come to me after this week and you tell me, I didn't read the Bible today, Pastor, and I had the greatest day of my life. Let me tell you what I did. No, if we really analyze your day, you won't be able to say that. No Bible, you're going to have a depressing day, a discouraging day, a day of some kind of strife, turmoil, and discouragement. Why? Because we are not made to live apart from God. We are not made to not be in prayer with God, to not be hearing from Him, to not be talking to Him. That's like that branch out on the ground right now that's cut. It's not having a good day. You know, it's not. It's dying. It's going to be firewood soon. We put a stack of them at the bigger trunks as firewood, and somebody will grab that pretty soon. I don't know what kind of tree it is, but it's a nice hardwood tree. Well, that's going to be firewood for somebody pretty soon, and that branch won't be in existence anymore. Or it'll be in microscopic particles, you know, as ashes. Okay, so those branches that are not on the tree are not having a good day. But guess what? The branches that are on the tree, they're enjoying life. They are connected to the trunk. They are rooted in Christ. That's what we need to be. We need to be rooted and connected to Christ every day, not just here and there, a day here, a day there. You know, why? Because carnality will just grow and grow in our life. If we have days like that, carnality will be rampant. We'll get depressed. We'll get discouraged. We'll say, why isn't my life working out the way it's supposed to? Because we're not connected to Jesus. So here we see, we need to rejoice greatly. O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy King cometh unto thee. Jesus is our King. He has come unto us. You know, what other religion can say that? None. If you ask Muhammad, you know, when he was alive in the 600s, you know, did your king come to you, Muhammad? Did Allah ever come to you? Did Allah ever do anything for you? No. You ask every Muslim, did your king come for you? No. No, Allah doesn't do that. Allah is, you know, remote from us. You know, he's up there, we're down here, and that's it, you know. Allah never came for anybody. Buddha, he was here on earth, but you know what? When he died, he went into the ground, and that was it. Buddha was a sinner. Gandhi was a sinner. Confucius, for the Chinese people, he was a sinner. And you know what? He didn't come for them. He wasn't able to save them. No amount of good works that he did could save anyone. Why? Because he himself was a sinner on his way to hell. None of the gods of idols and stone and wood and all those things that nations make can save anyone, and they don't come for them. Well, here, aren't you glad in Bible Christianity we have the one true religion, the one true faith, the one true worship, because our King has come for us. Wow, just think about that this week. Just let that sink in. Thy King cometh unto thee. Jesus left heaven's glory. The King. He was the King up in heaven. He left heaven's glory to come here, to be spit at, mocked at, cursed at, to be rejected, to have them talk behind his back. He's not really that smart. How can we kill this guy? You know, he had people that hated him with a passion, and they wanted him dead. Jesus came as our King to us. He is just and having salvation. He's always perfect. Everything he does is righteous. He never made a wrong statement. He never uttered a wrong word. He never got angry unjustly. He never lost his patience with people, even though they gave him plenty of reasons to, right? The people of Jerusalem gave him many reasons. The people of Tyre, or the people of Capernaum, gave him many reasons to lose his patience. The people of all those places, he could have said, you know what? That's it. His disciples said, wilt thou not call down fire from heaven, Lord? Lord, Jesus! Jesus, remember how Elijah was able to protect himself and call down fire from heaven to consume the 50 soldiers that were going to take him to the king and kill him? Well, remember that? Elijah did that. He was your prophet, your servant. You should call down fire right now, Lord, and consume them. That's what the disciples encouraged Jesus to do. What did Jesus say? He said, I have not come to bring judgment. He said, I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. He came to show mercy to this sin-cursed world. We already have had enough judgment. We know that sin is has brought the curse and judgment is coming. Jesus came to bring mercy and grace and forgiveness. And so Jesus came, He is just, always perfect, and having salvation, He didn't have to sum it up. He didn't have to manufacture it somehow. Jesus did not have to get salvation from elsewhere. Said His arm hath brought salvation. Amen. Jesus is salvation. He has it. Lowly and riding upon an ass and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. Here He came as a humble. Let's go back to Mark 11. He came as a humble Savior. And so we see, we have all the reasons in the world to rejoice this morning and to flee from sin in our lives, to get carnality out. Why? Because it's going to hurt us and it's going to keep us from God's best in our life. It's going to rot us out from the inside. It's important that we get it out. Verse 7, and they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on Him, and He sat upon him. Here we see verse 6, and they said unto Him, them even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. We don't have to worry about the details of life. Did you notice that Jesus said, hey, you two disciples, just go into that town there, Bethphage, and you'll see a colt with his mother, and you bring that to me. And they didn't have to worry about the details. All they had to do was just go and follow His instructions. And sure enough, they came, and if the man said anything to them, they said, the Lord hath need of him. And immediately the man said, go take him. And they took the colt back to Jesus. Aren't you glad that Jesus is taking care of, is in control of our lives? He's in control. You don't have to worry about tomorrow for what tomorrow is going to bring. Jesus said, are not ye of much more value than many sparrows? That we don't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow in life. We don't have to worry about, well, what if so-and-so is there on the job? And what if they give me a hard time? Or what if so-and-so at work is having health problems? Or what if so-and-so at school, you know, one of my friends, what if they say mean things to me? You know what? We don't have to worry about the future and what's coming because Jesus is already in control of that. He will give us the grace to help in time of need as it happens. As it happens. So if something bad happens tomorrow, guess what? Jesus is still in charge, and if you rely on Him, He'll help you get through that problem. He'll help you get through that trial. It may be difficult, but His grace is sufficient for us no matter what comes in life. So here we see Jesus has life. He's got the big details of life. He's in control. So we have every reason to rejoice. Then we see in verse 9, verse 8, and many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Here we see, save us. Here they cried out to Him, save us. Hosanna. That's what we need to say every day. Lord, not save me from my sins. He's already saved us. But we need to cry out in dependence upon Him. Lord, help. Lord, help me. Hosanna. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We need to cry out our dependence upon Him daily. Now, many people, they wanted a political Savior. They wanted Jesus to take over the Roman Empire, you know, take control from Rome. They wanted Him to say to Caesar Augustus, who was in that, they wanted Him to say to the Roman leader that was in charge of Judea, they wanted Jesus to say to him, hey, you're not welcome here anymore. You get out of here. I'm setting up. They wanted Jesus to literally become their leader in Israel. They wanted him to free them from Roman tyranny. They wanted him to basically keep back the oppression of the politics and all those things. But you know what? They got it confused. They thought that was his first coming, that he was going to save them politically. No, that's Jesus' second coming. The first coming, as it says it all through Isaiah, is that he would come as the suffering servant. And, you know, sometimes we can do the same thing to Jesus as Christians. We can say, Jesus, if you help me out of my problems today, I'll live for you. You know, if you help me get out of this thing I'm in, this predicament, if you help my loved one get better, I will live for you. And we want Jesus to save us out of our circumstances. Aren't we just as guilty as the people here in Israel? Aren't we just as guilty? We'll promise the world to God if he gets us out of this situation. But then as soon as it all melts away, the Lord kind of smooths it out, the person gets better, or the circumstance gets better in life, then all of a sudden what happened to our promise? Our promises. We forget about them. And we say, oh, well I'll do it. We do it for a few hours and then that's it. Well, that is a very short-sighted approach, and that's exactly what these people in Israel were doing. And then that was Sunday, and then guess what they were doing on Wednesday morning? He taught them in the temple on Monday and Tuesday. Guess what he was doing Wednesday morning? They were doing to him. They were saying, crucify him! Crucify him! Oh, he's not setting up, he's not saving us, so wow, we don't want him. You know, here they were saying, save us. And sure enough, he was doing that very thing they asked. Saving them from their most important need, which was sin. That's exactly what we need to see as well as Christians. Is our most important need to be saved out of our circumstance in life? Maybe it's bad health that we have at the moment. You know, maybe it's due to lifestyle choices. Or maybe it's bad relationships that we have right now due to whatever, maybe other people, things that we can't affect. Or maybe it's circumstances of life dealing with bad choices, and now we don't have good grades in school, or now we're behind in this area and that area. And so we say, Lord, save me out of my circumstances. Aren't we doing the same exact thing they did to Jesus back then? Lord, if you'll just save me out of my circumstance, then I'll do something for you. Then I'll live for you. Well, that's very short-sighted, and it's very hypocritical, and it treats Jesus as a temporary lifeguard. Lord, just save me out of the water, and then I'll get back to doing whatever I was doing before. That's very shallow. Jesus doesn't want our shallow worship that's here today and gone tomorrow. He wants our sacrifice of praise every day. He wants the fruit of our lips giving thanks to Him every day. He wants us giving our bodies to Him every day. As it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, He present your body a living sacrifice. God wants our bodies every day. That means we yield over. Lord, I'm going to give you my hands today. I don't want to use my hands for anything wicked. I don't want to use my hands to do something that you would not be pleased with. I want to use them for you. Lord, I'm giving you my eyes today. Let the things that I look at be pure and clean, and let me not look at anything twice. Let me not give a second glance to any sinful thing that I might see today. That's giving our eyes. Let me give you my nose today, Lord, to only smell good things. Let me give you my ears to only listen to pure things. Things that you would be able to be listening to in your company without having any guilt. Lord, let me give you my feet today to only walk in the places where I should walk. That's giving over our body each day as a living sacrifice to God. And then what we learned about in adult Bible fellowship this morning in Sunday school was, then we're giving the sacrifice of praise with our lips every day. And as we yield over ourselves to God each day, guess what? He will then work out those circumstances. And it won't have to be a, oh no, quick help, Lord! Because we'll be saying, Lord, just like I've been walking with you each day, I'm going to trust you with this problem too. It won't be an emergency situation. It won't be, Lord, save me, quick help, I'll do anything you want. No, we'll already be walking with God, Spirit-filled, and He'll be able to just take us through that next problem. That's what Jesus has designed in the Christian life. Not to be the life preserver for when we really need Him, the three times in life. You know, that's how the unsaved world uses and abuses Jesus. You realize that? Right? What do unsaved people do when they have a real bad problem? When someone is dying? I got a call from someone a couple weeks ago. You know, someone was in bad shape, and an unsaved person called me. Hey, please, can you pray? Like, wow, I didn't know you believed in prayer, you know? And I didn't say that to him. But that's how unsaved people respond when really bad things happen in life. They look at God, at Jesus as a life preserver. They just need Him today. And as soon as their problem's done, they'll go back. Well, how many times as Christians are we doing that to God? Are we doing that to Jesus? He's just our life preserver. I only need Him on Wednesday of this week. The rest of the days I'm fine by myself, Lord. No, let's not use Him as a life preserver. That is an abuse of Jesus' power. It's abuse of prayer. It's an abuse of why He came for us. He came for us to walk and talk with us and guide us through life and help us with our problems each and every moment. And praise Him through each and every moment. Verse here, they recognize Him. In Mark only, they have this messianic phrase, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father, David. This is exactly what blind Bartimaeus said to Jesus. He said, Jesus! He said, thou son of David, have mercy on me! Bartimaeus knew who he was. He called him by his right title, that he was the messianic king from the line of David that would be the Messiah. Bartimaeus gave him proper praise. Well, here we have the people here in Mark giving him proper praise. But yet, even with the right words, I wonder how many of them were truly saved. I wonder how many of them knew Him as their Savior. And then how many of them just 3-4 days later on Wednesday would be saying, crucify Him. Crucify Him. And so unsaved people are going to do that until they get saved. But we as Christians have no excuse for treating Jesus that way. We need to love Him every day. We need to walk with Him every day as He is the vine and we are the branches. Verse 11, Jesus entered into Jerusalem and He was hungry and He saw a fig tree afar off having leaves. Okay, if a fig tree has leaves, you know, that's a good sign that it's got fruit. You know, big leafy green leaves. He came if happily He might find anything wrong, but when He came to it, He found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said to it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And His disciples heard it. In the Old Testament, the fig tree is always talking about Israel. Here in the New Testament, here Jesus is now saying, okay, you Jewish people as a whole, you Jewish nation, you Jewish leaders, you're not receiving Me as your Messiah, and now you're going to be cursed. Now you're not going to be able to partake. And sure enough, in chapter 12, Mark chapter 12, He goes through the parable of the vineyard, and verse 7. But those husbandmen said among themselves, "This is the heir. This is the workers, the grapevine workers, the grape juice workers said, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill Him, and the inheritance shall be ours.'" And they took Him and killed Him and cast Him out of the vineyard. Mark 12, verse 9. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandman and will give the vineyard unto others. Verse 10. And have ye not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and is it marvelous in our eyes? So here, the Jewish people said, as many of them got saved, but as a whole, as a nation, they rejected Christ. So Christ had to put them off, put them aside for a while during the church age. And I wonder how many Christians Christ has to put aside because they are not responding to the Holy Spirit in their life. The Holy Spirit is a dove. The devil, he's a monster. He's a destroyer. But the Holy Spirit is a dove. He's gentle. He's easy to be entreated. We can quench him, the Holy Spirit. He convicts us. We can quench the Spirit. We can do despot unto the Spirit of grace. We can also refuse him. And I wonder how many Christians are not having that same sweet Holy Spirit knocking continually and saying, hey, come back, because they refused him so many times and gotten into such a bad place with God where they don't even feel the conviction anymore. And this is what we need to realize, is that seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. There was Dr. Gilmore told us the story a couple weeks ago of the young man who had heard the gospel. Heard the gospel as a kid. His parents were faithful in church. They were saved, and they shared with him the gospel. He didn't want it. And then as a teenage boy, he got more rebellious and more rebellious. Finally, he got his driver's license, and he started to drive, and he had a pickup truck. And well, one night, there was a heavy, heavy rain there in their county, and it washed the bridge out. Totally washed it out, a big bridge overlooking a very deep chasm, a deep river, and washed the bridge out, and it took it out, and so a man was someone was driving along their car, and he did not see the bridge was out, and literally his car fell down into the river. Miraculously, he was able to get out of the car, climb out, and swim to the side of the river, and he escaped with his life. But he said, wait, what about all those people that are going to do what I did? And so quickly he ran as fast as he could up to the top of that bridge, and he went down farther down the road, and he would wave his arms, hey, don't go down this bridge. The bridge is out. Don't go. Hey, wait. And he was calling people. Well, pretty much everybody at first, they stopped. They said, what's going on? Why are you trying to hinder me from going? And after he explained the bridge, oh, thank you. Thank you for telling me. Thank you for saving me from what could have been my death. Well, one pickup truck was barreling along, and he said, hey, don't go. And the pickup driver said, get out of my way. Get out of here. No, don't go. The bridge is out. Oh, get out of here. I don't want to hear what you have to say. You can't stop me from anything. And he kept on driving. It was this older teenage boy who was driving, and sure enough, he went right off that bridge, only his wasn't as fortunate. He hit the bottom. And he died because he rejected the warning. Well, here Jesus is telling us, flee from the wrath to come. As Christians, we need to shun and hate sin, just like we need to get saved and come to Christ by repenting of sin and believing on Jesus. Well, as Christians, we also need to shun and hate sin because it will destroy us. Carnality in our life will wreak havoc in our body. Wreak havoc in our relationships. It will wreak havoc until it destroys us. And so we need to listen to Jesus while he is calling and saying, Lord, don't just save me from my circumstances. Save me from my sins. Save me from myself. I'm confessing my sin to you and I'm forsaking it. Save me from what is happening in my life. I don't want my sinful choices to destroy me. We need to say, not save me from my circumstances, because there are always going to be another circumstance that we're going to come across and we're going to need help. No, save me from doing evil. That should be our prayer. Save me, Lord, from getting back into sins that would destroy me. Save me, Lord, out of this addiction that I have. Save me out of whatever sinful choices that I'm making right now. That should be our prayer to Jesus this morning. And you know what? He will be honored with that. And he will love to come in and help us to make right choices and walk in his grace and in his power I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed. As we close this service this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. As we think on this Palm Sunday message from the Bible, save us. Perhaps you're here this morning and say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know if I know Christ as my Savior, if I've ever been saved from the penalty of my sin, which is death and hell, in the lake of fire for all eternity. I don't want to burn in hell and go to hell and have to be judged by God. I want to believe on Jesus and His shed blood on the cross for my sins. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there where you see it. Say, Pastor Rice, I want to be saved. I want to know Jesus as my Savior. As a Christian, you say, Pastor, I'm already saved. I know the Lord is my Savior, but I don't want to misuse Christ. I don't want to just have Him save me from my circumstances or my problems, a lot of which are our own choices. I want Him to help save me from my sins, from the choices that I'm currently making. I want Him to help me get out of those. I'm confessing. I'm willing to confess and forsake those sins to Him today and have Him help me to get out of these things. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there. You see, amen. 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 Is there anyone else? Amen. Let us have a simple time of confession right now where you just pray to God quietly. Confession is a simple prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, please forgive me, for I have sinned. I have done. And you just tell God what you've done. He already knows, but He wants us to acknowledge. As David said in Psalm 51, I acknowledge my sins. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your great love for us, how You came and died on, how Your Son Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins, knowing the sinful choices that we would make, knowing the problems we would have as a result of our sin, that You still willingly came and suffered and bled and died. Lord, we thank You for that great love. Help us to acknowledge them before You this morning, that we would not play around with them, not make them lighter than what they are, that we'd not say, oh, they're not that bad, but that we would fully confess and forsake our sin before You so that You can be pleased, so that You can replace them with good things, that You can help us to have joy and victory in our Christian lives, Lord, how we desperately need joy and victory, Lord. Wilt Thou not revive us again in the midst of the years that we need that revival, Lord. We thank You and we praise You and we claim it this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let us go to our hymn books as we close this service. Hymn number 543. And let's all stand together and sing this song. And if you need to come for any reason, would you come and kneel at the altar? If we want to kneel or just sit in the front row and pray, whatever the Lord has spoken to you about, would you come? Or if you need to be saved or baptized or join the church, would you come? Take me by the hand this morning. Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus I come, Jesus I come. Into Thy freedom, gladness and light, Jesus, I come to Thee. Out of my sickness, into Thy health, out of my wandering.
content into thy wealth. Out of my sin and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee.
And the second,
out of my shameful failure and loss, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come, into the glorious gain of thy cross, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of earth's sorrows into thy balm, out of life's storms and into thy calm, out of distress to jubilant song, Jesus, I come to thee.
Let's sing that third verse with our heads bowed.
Out of unrest and arrogant pride, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come into thy blessed will to abide. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of myself to dwell in thy love, out of despair into raptures above. Upward for aeon wings like a dove, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the fear and dread of the tomb, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come, into the joy and light of my home. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the depths of ruin untold, into the peace of thy sheltering fold, ever thy glorious face to behold.
Invite you back tonight for our evening service as we look at what Christ is
to do in our lives, as we praise Him, as we get out of backsliding into God's goodness and into His victory, the great things that take off in our lives as we go on in victory for the Lord. So come on back tonight as we look at those Psalms, Psalm 95 and Psalm 82, and compare and contrast them. So come on back tonight, 7 o'clock, 8:10, and then as well this week our Good Wednesday service on Wednesday at 7 o'clock, then the Gospel Egg Hunt at Saturday morning at 10, and then of course our Easter breakfast and drama on Sunday at 9, starting at 9 a.m. with the breakfast. Let us close at this time in prayer, and I'm going to ask Brother John, would you close us?
Dear and gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you and praise you for the message this morning, Lord, for the ability to open up your word. You know, as we heard earlier and yesterday at the ordination services yesterday, we know that you are the great I Am that is mentioned in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We come before you and we ask that you be with us, we part our ways, Lord, and help us come back together. Your word tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves in the manner of some is, Lord. We ask that you keep each of us safe on our journeys home. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.